Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome back to the Pack a Day Radio Show. We are live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Reminder, the Mason Crosby Show is coming up next from 9 to 11 right here on the Fan. And joining us right now on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law, is the amazingly wonderful Grant Bills, Wisco Sports Show. You can find him on social media at Wisco Grant. Grant, how the heck are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing excellent, Andy. You're too kind. I would recommend for those who aren't Packers fans, or for those who are outsiders, I would recommend the 2 weeks that we've had. I'd recommend that your favorite team acquire the best defensive player in football and then blow doors on a Monday and a Thursday. And then after that Thursday night game, we just get to sit back and watch the Bears look bad and the Vikings look bad. Like, I don't know how the first 2 weeks of the NFL season could go much better for us so far.
It's like one of those, like, you know, medication commercials where it's like, have you tried winning your first two games of the regular season? Side effects may include overhappiness. And, you know, well, we won't say the other one that it might include. But yeah, it's one of those, like, medication. I would, if you are struggling with depression, anxiety, frustration in life, just win your first two games and everything will go, or trade for Micah Parsons and things will go very well for you moving forward. Have you tried it? It really works great.
I don't know why everyone else is struggling so hard with it. I see people talking about these other teams, what are we going to do with this quarterback? I don't know. I guess but the Packers fans just haven't had to endure many of these problems or these concerns so far. So I'm doing excellent, Andy. How are you?
I'm great. I have a Chicago Bears fan who is by far and away having an existential crisis, who is a friend of mine. And he's just like, we had a long talk the other day, and basically the crux of the conversation is, like, over like 30 years now, we have had two entirely different NFL experiences. He's like, you wake up every single Sunday getting to enjoy football, you know, basically, like, at least competing every week. Maybe there's going to be some disappointments, but you get to watch Brett Favre, you get to watch Aaron Rodgers, now Jordan Love, you get to watch Charles Woodson, Reggie White, Micah Parsons. And he's like, every once in a while, like, we'll have a season that's like, oh, this is kind of fun. Like, this is, we're actually competing this year. And then that ends in, like, a, you know, Caleb Haney interception to BJ Raji, to you, of course, to the Green Bay Packers, of course. Or, you know, we lose in the Super Bowl to Peyton Manning and the Colts. And he's like, you just don't understand. Like, your team is falling apart by week two every single year. He's like, you can't enjoy, you know, Bills Ravens when your team, after week one, after an offseason of excitement, is like, here's your everything is in your, like, Caleb Williams is going to be the guy, Ben Johnson's the next great head coach, and then you immediately blow it to JJ McCarthy in the fourth quarter. It's like, I can't enjoy football after that. And then, like, the same thing in week two, you get blown out by 50 some points. It's like, how, what am I supposed to do? And it's just like, there have been two very different existences for Packers fans and Bears fans.
Well, it's funny, last week, so week one is probably the better example of this, after they beat the Lions, but a good gauge of how well your team is doing and the place that your fan base is in is if you sit up straight and maybe even give a couple of extra volume notches to the Toyota halftime show on Sunday Night Football. If you're like, oh yeah, I want to see this actually. Yep, I'm going to turn this up. Like, that's how you know things are going well for your team, instead of, I'm going to go to the bathroom, I'm going to go get some food. Oh no. We're going to watch the Toyota halftime show, and we might actually even turn it up a little bit louder. That's how you know that that things are going well for your team. And that's been the case for the Packers through two games, at least. And,
yeah,
you know, we could talk about what comes next, or, you know, whether or not they're going to get out over their skis. But through 2 weeks, it's been pretty perfect.
the halftime show, the, you know, turning over to NFL Network for the highlights after Sunday Night Football is done, you know, in the morning, you know, maybe Good Morning Football or one of these shows is a little bit turned up as well. So yeah, no, it, and, or you're just, you know, tuning into the Pack-A-Day podcast a little bit more, the Wisco Sports show a little bit more as well. Like those are always good things to do as well, but no, it's a very good time to be a Packers fan. Grant, and these, I always just like to ask first and give you kind of the floor. What have been your takeaways of this 2-0 start? You can go in any direction that you want, but what's kind of just, you know, marinating in your mind right now?
Well, I think it's the defense, not because the offense has been horrible. I think the offense has room to grow. We had a guest from Sumer Sports on our show yesterday on our midday show who talked about the Packers offense. And really the one place that they've gotten hung up is in some of those complex run schemes that Matt LaFleur loves. And two replacement offensive linemen and probably defenses that have keyed on the run game has probably played a big role in that, right? Other than that, on offense, they've been pretty terrific. They've held up in pass protection. Really, it's just been that inability to get the running game going. So the offense has been bad. But I think I'm thinking most about the defense. And Andy, I was thinking about this morning before hopping on with you. How many times have we come into a Packers season? You probably understand this better than anybody. We come into a year and you're like, man, if Colby Wooden can just take a little step, or if Lucas Van Ness can just do a little, or if Devontae Wyatt can put it together, right? There are these five, six, you know, half dozen players every year where you're hoping that they do something, but deep down you know that, like, you're going to get to week three and realize, no, it's not it. But this, like, Andy, you watch Packers highlights and I'm hearing Devontae Wyatt, and I'm like, they're all doing the thing. And I think it's because those players have like, I think Devontae Wyatt's good. I think Wooden's good. And I think Van Ness, even though he hasn't been like this, you know, this burgeoning star as a top 15 pick, is good. I think those players have worked and improved, but you add Micah Parsons into the mix and it just changes everything. So it's been an absolute blast to watch Micah Parsons, and it still doesn't feel real. But I think what strikes me most is the effect that he's having on other players. And we're seeing all these young kind of secondary players pop in a way that you always hope to see, but let's be real, you never really do. This year is different, and that's been really fun.
I think just in a 2-year period of time, when you add Micah Parsons to the defensive line and he can be the one that's great, everyone else along that line can be good, and it feels good because you already have your guy. That's amazing. At linebacker, when you add Edgerrin Cooper and he can be great, all of a sudden Quay Walker being good feels good. You don't need him to be great. It looks great that he's doing well. And when you add Xavier McKinney to the secondary, it doesn't matter maybe that some of the other guys aren't great. He's great. You have a great safety. You have a great player in that secondary. So it doesn't maybe matter that nobody else is great because you already have that great guy in the secondary. So when you add three, to me, all pro or, you know, caliber players in at each level, defensive line, linebacker, safety, now all of a sudden it just lifts everything else up around them. And I do feel like all three of those players are really not just great themselves, but they do lift the play of everyone around them as well. And I just think we're seeing that. And again, credit to the coaches, credit to the individual players like Wyatt, Van Ness, Evan Williams, etc., Javon Bullard, Keyshawn Nixon. But when you do add those players, it just, I think, lessens the expectation a little bit. It kind of gives you a different lens to view them through. And it just gives them a lot of easier matchups and just better situations because you have three great players on all three levels of the defense. I think we're seeing these huge acquisitions by Brian Gutekunst really, really pay off.
And I think all those players on defense were good. Like, I think they had a lot of good players on defense. It's not like, some people reacted, mostly outside of Packers fandom, but some people, you know, reacted when Micah Parsons was acquired. It's like, that's a lot to give up for one guy. It would be, and it still is, the contract is huge, but a player that age at his level should be worth it in theory. Yep. We'll see. Only time will tell. But everybody, some folks acted like, you know, Micah Parsons was expected to come in and save this defense. And that's not really the case. He's brought in to be kind of the cherry on top. They have so many good players. Like, I love Evan Williams. And I really, really like Javon Bullard, who I thought had maybe his best game as a pro against the Commanders. And I like Wyatt and Wooden, and I like Van Ness enough. It's just those guys by themselves wasn't going to be enough. So you add Parsons into that mix. It's like the base, the foundation was already built. It's like adding, the analogy I kept using on my show, it's like adding one huge bat into the middle of a lineup that was already good, but the lineup maybe as it stood before wasn't good enough. Well, now everybody sees better pitches. Everybody has a little pressure taken off of them. And I liked the rest of the lineup. They had a lot of good or very good players. I don't know that they had enough great, and Micah Parsons is certainly that.
We had a similar analogy. I said they added the CC Sabathia to the rotation, and now your one becomes the two, the two, the three, the three, the four, et cetera. Now everything kind of clicks into place. It's kind of the same exact thing. But yeah, here's the big, I think, litmus test, at least for me. I'll let you speak on this as well, as we're being joined by Grant Bills, Wisco Sports Show. Find him on social media at Wisco Grant. When Micah's out of the game, I'm not like, oh God, all right, Micah's out of the game. Yeah. Like, buckle up. How is the defense going to survive? It feels a lot cooler and better, and like more big plays kind of seem to happen when Micah's in the game. But the defense has been really good when Micah hasn't been in the game, which has been a sizable amount over the first two games combined. And it just, it feels different. I'm not going to say it doesn't feel totally different, or like a little bit different, but I still have a ton of faith in the 11 that are out there, even when it's Carl Brooks or Kingsley Enagbare or Baron Sorrell or who's ever rotating in. I just feel like, yep, they got this. I'm not concerned about it at all.
Yeah, and I think that's Jeff Hafley in year two. That's a part of it as well, or that's the way I read it. You might read it differently.
No,
but I remember it might have even been in his introductory press conference. I don't know. Like, you're the same way. You watch all of these press conferences, and all these comments are stuck in your brain somewhere. I don't know exactly when these comments all were made, but I remember Jeff Hafley early on basically being like, my goal for the defense is to get to a point where we're so comfortable and we're so confident in what we're doing that my guys don't have to think. And then they can play even faster and they can hit even harder. And as he said recently, this is an extension, I think, of that original philosophy. Like, guys aren't afraid to make mistakes. They don't slow down, or they don't pull up to avoid missing a tackle because they know there's two or three teammates behind them ready to pick them up if they don't make a play. And I remember Jeff Hafley very early on in Green Bay kind of preaching that. And it seems like it's now to begin year two come full circle. It seems like these guys are very comfortable in his scheme. They're playing faster. They're playing harder. And that's not just Micah Parsons. He's been, again, a nice cherry. He's been a nice final piece to add into that and add at a very high level. But I think Rashawn Gary and Lucas Van Ness and Wooden and Wyatt, who has always kind of flashed when he's been healthy and gotten opportunities, Cooper in year two, like, these guys are so comfortable and so confident in the scheme, which was Hafley's goal all along. They're just flying around at a different pace and hitting at a different level than we've seen from a Packers defense. And in recent memory, I don't know where this would, you know, compare to the best Packers defenses of the last 10 or 20 years, but it's certainly the most impressive to the eye of the last few seasons, for sure.
If I were to take the best 2 weeks of any defense over the last, you know, 20, 30 years, this is as impressive, if not more impressive, of a 2 week stretch as a small sample size, et cetera. But it's as good as I've seen a Packers team play defense. Maybe again, in my time, that Fritz Schirmer, Reggie White defense was pretty dang impressive. Leroy Butler, et cetera. That probably gets there. There were moments certainly in the Dom Capers, Charles Woodson, Clay Matthews that felt like this as well. But we're talking about, again, two Super Bowl caliber defenses in 2010 and 96. This, to me, through 2 weeks, very small sample size, has felt at minimum on par with that level of defense, which is, of course, I think why so many people are really excited about this team moving forward. I got a couple fun ones for you, Grant, as we're being joined again by Grant Bills, Wisco Sports Show. You can find him on social media at Wisco Grant. All right, first one, which Packer has impressed you the most through 2 weeks so far?
I suppose it could be any. Would it be weird? Would it be a reach? Would I be overthinking this answer to just say Devontae Wyatt? He looks explosive and he looks fast, and he just, there's something about, again, it's just the eye test watching on television. He's had opportunities to wreck plays up the middle and he's done it. And the Packers picked up his fifth year option. They did not pick up Quay Walker's, right? I'm remembering that correctly. We talked about this on my show last night, so I hope I had it correct. Otherwise, I was misleading folks for like an hour. I've been really impressed with him. And, you know, there's other players who have played really well, but I've watched him and said, oh yeah, there's that first round pick from that elite Georgia defense that's finally giving them that explosive push up the middle to collapse pockets. So I guess I would say Devontae Wyatt.
I'm right there with you. We talked about in the first segment that the players who have taken a leap and a big step in the right direction, and the two that we talked about the most were Keyshawn Nixon and Devontae Wyatt really being the two that have really stepped up in a significant way. I think the argument is right there for Devontae Wyatt. All right, on the flip side, though, who's been a Packer that's disappointed you the most through 2 weeks? It's a tough
one. It is really tough. I guess maybe, I don't know, maybe Matthew Golden, but that's not his fault. Like, I've been disappointed through 2 weeks with the experience of Matthew Golden, because he was hyped up so much in training camp. And I guess it's probably, Andy, like a good thing they don't feel like they need to spam him the ball. It's probably a good thing that get a couple targets a game. Man, you're a rookie. This is an offense that's well-established, a team that's well-established. So it's actually probably a good thing that Matthew Golden isn't getting spammed, you know, 6-7 targets a game, which for this offense would be a pile of, it'd be a mountain of targets the way they operate and as deep as they are. I've been experienced with the Matthew Golden, or I've been disappointed with the Matthew Golden experience, but I don't think that's on him, and I don't think it's a bad thing.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering if that was the direction you were going to go in, and it's interesting. You watch him on tape, especially this past week, and he's getting open all the time, and it's just like, this is just a matter of time. He was this close, if they just hit a couple of those passes, to having like two catches for 134 yards and two touchdowns, and we're talking, like the whole world is abuzz with Matthew Golden right now if those balls are just thrown a little bit better to him. So, yeah, this is just a matter of when, not if. There will be some really massive Matthew Golden games, and I think it's just a matter of time, and I think we might see that sooner rather than later. But to that point, one of the questions I even had to ask you is how, you put your Matt LaFleur hat on for a moment, how would you like to see them get Matthew Golden going a little bit more in this offense?
Well, Jaden Reed's injury is certainly gonna open up some more opportunities, although what's weird is when Jaden Reed went down, you know whose usage, well, let me back up. Matthew Golden was already thought of as a starter in certain personnel groups. Like, he was already one of the frontline guys. So it's not a matter of him getting on the field. It's more a matter of him getting targets. When Jaden Reed got hurt, what we saw a little bit on Thursday and what I might come to expect a little moving forward is actually some more work for Savion Williams, because he can do some of that sweep stuff, you know, involving wide receivers in the running game. We saw that on, I think, their most important drive of that Commanders game was a run that featured a sweep play to both Golden and Williams. So how do you get Matthew Golden going? I would not do it in the way that they tried to with Christian Watson or Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I wouldn't just throw deep bombs to him until one of them connects. I don't find that to be an efficient way, even if he's fast, and he is, and he should project to be a very good deep threat. I like to start a little simpler. Just get the ball in his hands and let him go. Slants, crossing patterns, you know, go steal something from Ben Johnson's film from one of these games to get Matthew Golden moving sideways with the ball in a ton of space. I would not just start uncorking deep balls once a quarter to him, because those are not efficient. And I think when those aren't connecting and they're hard to connect, it takes a long time to build that deep ball chemistry. Then the player starts to press and the quarterback starts to press. And I don't want that for Matthew Golden and Jordan Love. So I'd start simpler, but there should be opportunities now, especially with Jaden Reed's injury.
Jaden Reed's slot snaps went from 5 in week 1 to 16 in week 2. So he did see a little bit of an uptick, and certainly I'm sure the Jaden Reed injury played a pretty big piece of that. So we'll see how they utilize those receivers in week 3. I would expect this is going to be a lot of Dobbs, Wicks, and Golden, with some Savion Williams and Malik Heath kind of scattered in as well. But there should be a ton of opportunity for Matthew Golden here, especially with Jaden Reed's absence coming up in the near future. A couple last things with Grant Bills, Wisco Sports Show. Find him on social media at Wisco Grant. Packers, Browns, what are you looking for in this one?
Domination, selfishly, right? Like, can we get it 3 times in 3 games coming off a mini bye? I guess I would love to see Tom and Banks back out there. Like, that would be, put the game aside, I would love to see their full complement of starting offensive linemen, especially because the two who have been absent are the two that they paid money to this offseason. Those are two of their more important linemen. I would like to see the full complement, and I'd like to see them run the ball, because I know they're capable and I know those concepts work. But again, I'll go back to, we had a guest on from Sumer Sports, Sam Brookhouse, who's really good, and they grade all the plays and they break it down, you know, second by second with their modeling. And they've said really the one thing on this Packers offense that hasn't worked, and I think it's been in part due to those absences on the O-line, is those complex running schemes from Matt LaFleur that feature pre-snap motion and misdirection. And I think that's because Banks and Tom haven't been out there. So what I would love to see, go into Cleveland and just run the cover off the ball and execute those blocks and those schemes at a really, really high level. And yeah, I'd love to see Jordan Love, you know, connect with Matthew Golden and all that stuff. But the running game has kind of been the one part that's been missing. So to go into Cleveland with extra rest and execute that really crisp and clean at a high level, I think that would bring me the most satisfaction on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm right there too. I want to see this run game get going. To me, it's like, it's maybe not the, like the final piece of the equation, but if you get that run game going at a higher level, which we know Josh Jacobs is, it's not like you're going to hold him to 80 yards every single game. He's going to get going at some point. And when that happens, it just feels like, what more do you need? The running game's going, Jordan Love's playing great, the defense is playing amazing. It just, it feels like everything clicks into place. And when you go into a game like the Browns, where like kind of your main things are like, don't turn the ball over and don't let Myles Garrett wreck shop. Well, if you can run the football successfully, it kind of takes care of two of those things in one fell swoop.
Absolutely. Yeah. And of course, all of the things that we've been seeing, I want to see that continue as well. I'd love to see Jordan Love and Matthew Golden have a nice couple little moments. But I think it starts with running the ball. That's their means of controlling this game and neutralizing the biggest threat the Browns can offer in Myles Garrett. You're absolutely right.
I feel like this is a game where we could potentially see the defense, who has been dominating through 2 weeks, maybe start to get a few more of those turnovers as well. Maybe punching a couple of those balls out, getting a couple picks on Flacco, etc. That would certainly make things easier for the offense as well. All right, Grant, prediction, Packers, Browns, who do you got?
Is the line, what is it, like 10.5, 11.5? I haven't looked. That's what it was.
It was like 8.5 initially. It was 7.5 that moved to 8.5. Let me get it for you right now per the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. It is currently back down to 7.5, believe it or not.
Interesting. So I guess that's a huge compliment to the Ravens and their ability to bounce back after losses and to take care of underdogs even on the road. So I'll take the Packers. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a little bit more close than Packers fans would like. That's the nature of the NFL. But I would take the Packers to win in this game, and I would say like 28-14, 28-13, something like that. That would make me very happy. If they're able to run the ball efficiently and cruise to a win like that, I would take that. And then you get ready to go to Dallas at 3-0, a place that you're comfortable going to play, and it's Micah Parsons' return, and it's another great game and another great story. So that would be my prediction, although certainly don't listen to me, but that's the shape that I see.
7.5 feels a little bit low to me, but it is the second greatest the spread of the week. The best is Bills minus 11.5 against the Dolphins on Thursday Night Football. They are tied with the Seattle Seahawks, who are 7.5 point favorites against the New Orleans Saints in that particular game. So
it's not college football. 7.5 is a big spread. My frame of reference was the Ravens, and I don't know where it closed last week, but it was like 11 or 10.5.
I think it was even higher than that. Yeah, it was pretty high. I'm honestly surprised it's not a little bit higher. And when it got to like 8.5, I was like, I bet it's 8.5 and it moves to 9. And I'm like, that kind of feels right. 7.5 seems a little bit, I don't know, just sketchy. I don't like it. I don't like it, Grant. I would like it to just.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Be like, the Vegas feels like it's like a 14-point difference, but we'll see. It is one of those games where it's the first road game. I'm interested to see if Green Bay can carry that same energy they had in two huge home games in those first ones and a random Sunday noon road game against the Browns. It's a little bit different to kind of get up for that than it is at a home game prime time against a big-time team. So we'll see how they kind of deal with that as well. Grant, I cannot thank you enough. Tell us where we can find all of your incredible work.
Oh, the Wisco Sports Show, 4 to 6 in the evenings. I would just follow my Twitter if you're on there, at Wisco Grant, because the show streams live and all the links are there. Otherwise, if you look up the Wisco Sports Show, Facebook, YouTube, there's a page, there's an account. Just like it or subscribe to one of those, and you'll be able to watch and listen. Otherwise, radio markets in Madison, Eau Claire, La Crosse, Central Western Wisconsin. But again, if you just go to my Twitter, it's all right there. So I appreciate it, Andy. Thank you.
Appreciate you a ton, my friend. We'll catch up on the podcast soon, and you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thanks, Andy. Go Pack, go.
Go Pack Go. That is Wisco Grant. Grant Bills joining us on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Make sure to follow him again on social media at Wisco Grant. This is the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. Our last segment coming up right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait. You mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.